I don't know where life will lead me, but I know where I've been. I can't say what life will show me, but I know what I've seen. Tried my hand at love and friendship, but all that is past and gone. This little boy is moving on. Waiting for the tide to flow. Sitting here alone, knowing that I have to go. Well, they're putting up resistance, but I know that my faith will lead me on.
We're back with Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. This is 89.3 FM, Free Radio Santa Cruz, in Santa Cruz. Give us a call at 427-3772 or 427-FREE-RADIO-SANTA-CRUZ. If you have anything you wish to say regarding what I'm talking about, I'm talking about the rights of poor people, I'm talking about the attempts of cities to kick them down the road. See, we have a call coming in now. Let's see what we got on the line here.
Hi there, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Actually, I wanted to talk to you off the air.
Okay, well, let me catch you
on the song
at the next break. Okay, well, hey, all right, let's roll into a song here.
Okay, great.
Hang on, everybody, you get a little more of Peter Yarrow.
I don't know where life will lead me, but
go ahead.
I know where I've been.
Please, sir.
Hang on a second, I think you're on the air.
What life will show me, but I know what I've seen. I tried my hand at love and friendship, but all that is past and gone. This little boy is moving on.
Yes, it's Bathrobe Spears Broadsides, the show that goes in and out. You get to hear music, then you get to hear me. You get to hear me, then you get to hear music. I guess that's true with a lot of shows. But I like to keep babbling. I like to keep talking. And next thing I'm going to discuss or draw again to your attention is the Citizens Police Review Board of Santa Cruz. Who can be reached at 429-3262. They meet once a month, and their next meeting is Monday at 5 o'clock at City Hall. That's Monday, 5 o'clock, City Hall, right across from the library. We have another phone call. Here is a phone call, and I'll tell you more about police review and what's happening after this call. We will not let our phoners off the hook.
Hi, you're at Free Radio Santa Cruz. Hello? Well, so much for that one.
Getting back to police review, try calling again, caller, if you didn't get through. It may have been cut off for some reason. Police review is still gearing up to do something. I think they've received a couple of complaints, but it's really important if people are being treated rudely or badly by city police, or even other police agencies, that they file complaints. And this isn't because the complaints are going to go anywhere. I can almost guarantee they won't. However, a record will be made, and that's what we really need to make. And I've been trying to make that for years with a group called SPAN, Stop Police Abuse Now. And SPAN's number is 475-2012. That's 475-2012, Stop Police Abuse Now. And it's a group that compiles complaints, but the Civilian Police Review Board is somewhat more official. And there are a few sympathetic people on the board who are really concerned about police abuse in the past, other than simply providing a fig leaf for police abuse for the future, which unfortunately is what some of them want to do. I talked to one of the Police Review Board members. Next meeting, as I'm repeating to you, is June 12th. That's Monday, 5 o'clock, runs till 8. In the oral communications section, when you're allowed to speak your mind into the mic, and they have a very liberal mic policy, much more liberal than City Council. Starts at 5, so just roll down to City Hall, right across from the library, if you've got anything you want to say regarding concerns about the police. The police aren't there enough. If you feel like there are abusive spouses who are coming back to your house and harassing you to death and threatening you with violence and committing violence on you, call, go down and talk about the need for more police presence around the area of your particular problem. That's something else you could do. I'm primarily concerned with incidents such as the one I saw happening a week ago on Laurel Street. I was driving to a Citizens Committee for the Homeless phone thing where I was trying to phone about, we're going to phone about this vehicular camping ban I talked to you about. We're trying to mobilize people to call the City Hall on that. When I saw two police officers, a man and a woman, took a car and a bike parked, questioning or writing tickets for two Hispanic men, two young Hispanic men. So I stopped, took out my tape recorder, walked across the street, leaned at the high school fence, sat down next to it on the sidewalk, and started just observing. And what happened then was the female police officer started speaking Spanish to the two men. I'm glad she speaks Spanish. And she said in Spanish, "That guy, he hates the police, that's why he's there." Well, when I was referred to, I interrupted because I don't like being referred to, and I responded in Spanish, no es verdad, meaning no, that's not true, and at which point the other officer came over and threatened me with arrest for interfering with an officer. And I told, and he began bullying, as police officers sometimes are, and demanded to know, did I understand, and I simply looked at him and said, you know, go back to what you're doing. I'm well away from the scene of the crime here. I'm simply observing. You know I'm observing. Please continue with your duties. And he kept advancing on me, saying, do you understand? And I said, do I look like an idiot? But in any case, that officer's conduct, as well as the conduct of the policewoman, was inappropriate. And I've been intending to file a complaint about it for a week. I haven't, because of matters such as Linda Edwards' death. Linda Edwards is a homeless activist who died last Saturday, in the hospital of liver cancer, have preoccupied me. But I think that it's important, even in instances where the police are rude or threatening to you, even if you're not sure of your legal position, to file a complaint. It's not going to affect the police officer's record. It's probably going to be dismissed. I mean, certainly don't file a frivolous complaint, but if you err on the side of making your concern known, and the number to call is 429-3262, and the place to go is 915 Cedar Street. That's the Citizens Police Review Board. And if you have questions about it, you can certainly give me a call at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. Well, one of the members of the police board was telling me that the police board is continuing to discuss its training and the complaints review process. They're being told the board will not be getting copies of complaints. I repeat, the board is not going to get copies of the complaints that go into the police department. They are only going to be told that there is a complaint. This is a very bizarre procedure for a group that's supposed to be overseeing the police department. They will also have to review completed investigations at the police department in the presence of a police officer. Another attempt to intimidate the Civilian Police Review Board. This is a policy being considered. It looks like there's a phone call coming in. Let's see if there is.
Hi there, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hi. Actually, I really wanted to listen to more about what you were wanted to say, so if you wanted to finish...
Well, I'll finish it and my call to you here as we're talking. That's really pretty much it. The two concerns of this police review board member was that the policy that is now being discussed at the board is that the board will not be getting copies of police complaints that come in.
So how can the board make a fair...
Just a form that describes the police complaints. Indeed, how can the board make a fair decision? Well, I guess that they may get copies of the complaints at a later stage. Maybe that's what they mean. But certainly in any police review board I've ever heard of, and they aren't that good anyway, you get police complaints initially. I mean, that's the whole point of complaining to the police review board rather than the police department. And
right,
unfortunately...
So hopefully have an advocate and get some action taking about...
Or at least a fair and impartial hearing,
right.
You know. I mean, they aren't even really advocates for you, as they should be. I think they should be. They are more... they're supposed to be impartial judges.
Omnibus kind of...
They should be ombudspersons.
Thank you.
Yeah, but they certainly aren't yet. And then they're being told, they're being told this by the police department, or they're having some kind of internal thing. I think we have a second call coming in. You want to hold for a minute?
Sure.
Free Radio Santa Cruz. Well, I guess not.
Actually, it was my phone. I didn't call your phone.
Okie doke.
Yes, check.
So, so the recommendation of this member was that the subcommittee that's supposedly coming up with these silly policies get opinions, and silly is my word, not his or hers, get opinions from other attorneys than the city attorney, and they also get opinions from police review boards. Right now the subcommittee is getting spoon-fed by the police department, it sounds like.
Exactly. I mean, why, if you are a police review board, your contact with the police... and also the city itself should be very limited so that you can't be persuaded or pulled over, you know, to their side. And that's the last thing that's needed, is just another group that's going to, you know, give in to the whims of the police department.
Rubber stamp the police department's investigations.
Right.
Well, as I've said before, the police department... the police review board, as it's currently constituted, doesn't allow for an independent investigator to be funded unless the matter again goes to the city council and they have to take some action on it, A. It also doesn't allow for any guaranteed public hearings, so they can be closed. Hearings can be closed. So, plus the city manager can throw all this stuff out.
So what's the point? You know, at that point it becomes, it's like corporations that hire, you know, its own agencies to find out what you know, damage.
Well, it's a fig leaf arrangement, but on the other hand, it's important for activists to be able to use whatever we can to get information out to the public and to keep a public record of the kinds of abuses that are occurring. I mean, in San Francisco, as you may know, if you've been following the papers, there's been this police murder of this guy named Williams, a black man who was beaten to death on video. About a week and a half ago, and there have been marches daily up there.
Why hasn't this made as much national news as Rodney King made national news?
Well, interestingly enough, the reason that the San Francisco media are covering it all, according to Food Not Bombs activist Keith McHenry, whom I talked to this morning, is because the national media did pick it up, although apparently not in any way in the fashion that Rodney King matter was picked up. And so the San Francisco newspapers, the Chronicle and the Examiner, and presumably the San Francisco television and radio media also began to talk about it. And it's actually been in the headlines of the Examiner and the Chronicle that four of the cops involved, of the 11 officers who beat this person, including one female officer, had already been the subject of numerous complaints of police abuse, and one guy had been fired from an Oakland force for incredible police abuse. And the mayor has, of course, announced an investigation, the coroner has announced an investigation, and the toothless Office of Civilian Control, which is the police review board in San Francisco, has announced an investigation.
To quiet down the public.
Right, to reassure the people that something is being done is my concern, my fear. I mean, and Cecil Williams black minister, and Brown, previously Speaker of the Assembly in California, now the mayoral candidate, have also announced they want the, I guess Brown didn't announce this, but he's been involved with this, but Cecil Williams announced he wants an independent investigation. He wants the 11 officers suspended at least during the duration.
Right.
But the reason that Cecil Williams announced this, according to McHenry, was that it's part of a political move around the mayoral race. And I suppose in a way a mayoral race can be a nice effective thing because you can use, you know, it becomes at least a basis for getting certain issues out.
Right. But you know, that would be really one of the only times that things would be run in that way of actually investigating the police instead of calling for more cops in a mayoral race, you know?
Right, well I think they're just, who knows, they may also be calling for more cops because these, you know, these are politicians with three or four different mouths or sides of their mouth, and you know the story with that.
The reason why I called is actually something different than this.
Oh, tell me what your reason for calling was.
Okay, well, basically the fact that in checking out what Santa Cruz has to offer as far as for homeless families trying to establish some type of route or some type of housing in the city.
Right.
As much as people like to think that all the resources are there, it's not there by far. And I've been dealing with a family of five children and a mom and dad, and the amount of abuse that this family has gone through while being in the city is unbelievable. And I mean, to the point where we took the little girl to the hospital because it turned out that she totally had, you know, a bladder infection and a urinary tract and what have you.
How old is she?
She is 4 years old. And she's like the healthiest child, you know, so they knew when this baby was sick that there was obviously something up, you know, something serious. So in going to the hospital, man, the first woman that we see is questioning this man about his name. Are you sure you're not so-and-so?
Mm-hmm.
When he gives his name, and he's like, no, this is who I am. And she's like, well, are you sure that it's not, what's this? You know, totally questioning him. If this was a white guy walking in there, it would have never happened.
Now this guy was a man of color?
Yeah, this is a black man, African man. And totally, man, they've been homeless since December. And not homeless, you know, they've been homeless. Most of this town has seen these people because they've been out trying to work. They've been out, you know, on the streets trying to raise money. They've been raising money for their hotel. And what people won't face, the issue that people will not face, is that this is a tourist town. And so when the tourism went up, the hotel rates went up. So instead of scrounging for $40 a night, they have to scrounge for $60, $80 a night. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so the town is not set up for families in transition at all. And
I understand you made a plea for some kind of a fund for Linda Edwards when you talked to City Council on Tuesday night.
Yeah, I did.
Well, tell us about that.
Okay, well, check this out. Well, first of all, I'm
not interrupting your own story,
which is okay. First of all, wait a minute, there's a lot of time. You guys, can you see that? Wait a second. Longer.
It's okay, I can still hear you.
Sorry about that.
That's right.
There's too much noise. But, so I found out about the City Council meeting, which I thought was, I guess the city has the Community Chest Fund, which is 75 cents or 0.75% tax on the hotels that goes into the Community Chest Fund. Okay, these people have put in $6,000, you know, so like almost $500 should be theirs straight out. But anyhow, what the city was doing was granting its monies for the nonprofit organizations through the Community Chest Fund. So I thought I'd go there and make a plea for this family and see, you know, get them in the housing immediately. There's no reason why people should not have housing who need it in Santa Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
Of course I get there and the thing's over with, but Scott Kennedy and this woman, this tall blonde woman, I don't know who she is, with short hair, and then this younger guy was like, they were sitting outside, you know, they said the meeting was over. So I was like, all right, well, this is what I came to say, you know, and I just like laid it out to them. And you know what I got, man? First of all, the tall blonde woman, I was just like, what do you do when you've gone through the gamut, when you've gone through every freaking, you know, shelter in this town, when you've gone to all the churches, when you've gone to all the groups, when you've gone to this and that, and there's nothing left, you know, what are you supposed to do? She shrugged her shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And then she tried to turn it around and say, well, maybe this family has gone through all these things and they're not on their feet yet, maybe there's something wrong with them. You know, and
right.
It's like, well, maybe this town is so freaking racist that they can't even freaking, you know, it's just, it really fired me up. So here's something for you. And then, when I talked about the interest of starting, like, a Linda Edwards Memorial Fund to help families in transition, Kennedy suggested that maybe it should start with your trust fund.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't have a trust fund.
He said, exactly. He's like, well, why don't you talk to Norris and have him start out with his trust fund? And it's just like, if that's what the city, that's the city. You know, those are the people who represent the city, and that's their attitude. So the city offers, you know, the city offers a lot of talk, but when it really comes down to it, man, they show their true colors in the situation. And nobody gives a damn, basically, was it, you know. So I've been making pleas on the radio for food and clothing and what have you, and I would like to mention a couple of groups that are really doing something.
Sure, let me ask you, are you getting this on the radio? Can you hear us coming through?
I don't know. I turn the radio down. Let me turn
see
it
if
on.
We're still here.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I can hear it.
Oh, good, okay. I'm having some trouble hearing on these earphones. Go
ahead. Familiar Center totally helped out with clothing. I just so happened to call on a day that they had a free clothing drive. The Welfare Parent Support Group.
You want to give a phone number for either of these groups?
I wish I could, but I don't have any.
Welfare Parent Support Group, I know the number. It's 458-9070. For people who want to contact them to donate to the Linda Edwards Memorial Fund, if you're suggesting that one be started there.
Yeah, I'm suggesting not only that one be started, but one be started that's non-governmental, non-whatever the C5, whatever.
Right.
They have a nonprofit. Forget that. Let the businesses and the government deal with that. Let the city and the government, you know, businesses should be able to, like, donate whatever, a $20 voucher for people to get diapers or whatever, and have it as a tax write-off. Let them deal with the city and all that stuff. But I think that if there is a Linda Edwards Memorial Fund, it should be, you know, immediate. You know, people who are in transition, the money should be there to help them out, you know. And
I agree.
Money needs to come from the community. And I'm not looking for anything from the city, because the city has proven to me that they really could care less and all that they're interested in.
Well, I'm glad you're keeping on the city's tail, and I hope you show up at the Civilian Police Review Board meeting. I don't know if I will or not, but you might find it interesting. Have you been to such a meeting before?
No, but I also have a lot of kids, and it's kind of hard to just be able to pick up at the last minute and go. But yeah, so...
It's happening at 5 o'clock on Monday, if you're interested, or if anyone else is interested in showing. That's at City Hall next Monday, June 12th, at 5 o'clock. And shall I move on to the hopefully next caller? Or do you think we're going to get another caller?
But if anyone does have any donations that they would like to offer the family, I mean, basically what they're looking for is just be able to get somewhere while they're waiting for all this stuff to go through. And if anyone has any donations that they'd like to give, you can contact me at 429-9378. And it's unfortunate that we have to fill the void, you know, that the city has, but it definitely needs to be filled.
Sounds great, Lisa.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
And that was caller Lisa talking about Linda Edwards Memorial Fund. Linda Edwards was a homeless activist, a fighting woman who died last Saturday of liver cancer, and also about her experiences with city council around issues of poverty and poor women, and women's experiences and men's experiences, poor men trying to get services here in town. If you have an experience you'd like to relate, please give a call at 427-3772. That's Free Radio Santa Cruz, and you are, of course, listening to Bathrobes, Pierre's Broadsides, and will, I hope, be doing so for the next hour. Linda Edwards, yes, she was quite an activist. I talked about her at some length last show, and I see we have another incoming call here. Keep hanging on there, caller. We're going to get to you in a moment. Linda Edwards had a monument of a certain sort at the town clock. There was a sleep out in her honor, and that was desecrated. It was thrown into the fountain, and it was then reestablished. So there's hopefully a placard down there at the town clock talking about Linda Edwards and more about her memorial in the days ahead.
You're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Good morning. Bathrobes Pierre, Robert North.
Yes.
Robert Flory.
Oh, Red Top Robert Flory, our vanishing guest, Dave.
Sorry, I couldn't make it to the day this morning.
Yes, we were wondering where you were. So
I decided to call in instead.
Oh, good. I'm glad you're calling in. I was already telling our listeners, did you, you were listening to the show?
Yes, I was.
You know, you probably heard that I mentioned you recently visited Fresno and seen what's happening there with food, not bombs, and the needle exchange program, and situation perhaps around police abuse and poverty rights. Maybe you could tell us something about your recent trip. How long were you there?
I was there for about a week and 2 days, and Food Not Bombs Fresno is just a name only. There's no food giveaway. Nothing under the name Food Not Bombs Fresno.
Really? Is that so because a food giveaway stopped or because it never started?
It's because it never started, and because the people who are interested in starting Food Not Bombs there have been putting all their energy into exchanging syringes on the street and are doing that instead.
And how is that going?
Well, in some ways, I guess it's going very well. They've been doing it since November of 1994, and they started out exchanging 95 syringes per month, and I think they're up to about 3,000 a month now.
Wow.
The number of syringes. And I actually went out on one of the routes while I was in Fresno, and well, the political climate there is extremely repressive. Even while I was there, there was a front page article talking about how the mayor was forming new bridges with religious leaders in town so that they could increase the morality of the townspeople or something to that effect. Also, the author of the Three Strikes Bill lives in Fresno. So the political climate is repressive, and they don't do the needle exchange out in public like they do here in Santa Cruz. They have sites where people go to, and then the exchangers show up there, and then they can exchange their syringes there. But in Fresno, it's all house calls, going to different people's houses. And so I went out on a route one day, and we went to 9 different places. A lot of, rundown motels, really, really substandard housing conditions where a lot of these people live, and we managed to exchange 341 syringes. 9 stops that day.
Wow.
On the route that I went on.
Huh. You're doing great. Tell me more.
Well, I guess some of the information I got was that a health officer determined that there were 15,000 intravenous drug users, or I guess they're injection drug users, IDUs, in the San Joaquin Valley, which includes not only Fresno, but several surrounding communities. And so the needle exchange program there knows that they haven't even begun to address the problem as far as the numbers of people who are using injection drugs. There was also another study which came out of San Francisco that I was shown, and actually I left the papers there in the studio somewhere. I don't have them with me. There was a San Francisco methadone clinic where they were testing for hepatitis C. Hepatitis C is a more vigorous form of the virus. It attacks more strongly than hepatitis A or B. And 100% of the people in this methadone clinic were positive for hepatitis C.
What year was this study?
This was in San Francisco.
And have they done a similar study in Fresno? Or?
Not that I know of.
Or reports from Fresno of a big hepatitis problem? Or?
I'm not exactly sure of all the information on the hepatitis situation in the state of California, but I do know this is the reason why people there are doing needle exchange is as a harm reduction program, because diseases can very easily be transmitted by sharing needles, and so exchanging dirty needles for clean needles is a harm reduction
measure. Now, what's the situation regarding anti-homeless legislation in Fresno? And do you get any sense of how things were on the streets for people without who live in their vehicles or who are poor and haven't got shelter?
Actually, I didn't spend all that much time wandering around on the streets. I don't really know.
What's happening in that score?
What's happening there, no.
Well, what about Santa Cruz and needle exchange? Maybe you can bring us up to date on that.
Well, I do know that a needle exchange exists in Santa Cruz, and can't remember what their phone number is, but they posted. Yeah, Food Not Bombs locally gives out the flyers that...
Phone number is 427-4557. We have a Fuck Safe, Shoot Clean flyer here in the studio. Santa Cruz Needle Exchange.
And they have several locations and several times a week where people can go and exchange dirty needles for clean needles. They also give out alcohol wipes, cots, cookers, and